Hello, friends, and welcome to Brazenly Shady. My name is Shazen Pages, and I'm one of your co-hosts. If you're a fan of chopping it up with your girlfriends while engaging in real, raw, and raunchy conversations, then buckle up and get comfortable because Brazenly Shady is definitely the podcast for you. Join me and my co-host, Sharonda Isadora, for bi-weekly episodes as we discuss all things romance with a dose of drama, tarot, and lipstick. Where you going? You ain't going nowhere. Tune in with us, guys. I promise you, you won't regret it.
Brazenly Shady. I'm Sharonda.
And I'm Shazen Pages.
Hello, Miss Shazen Pages. You said welcome back, what?
Welcome back, bitches.
Welcome back, bitches.
We are doing the damn thing. This is another episode. I feel like accomplished or some shit.
Oh.
A little bit, you know.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Hey.
We're back, guys. We are doing the damn thing. I feel like we're consistent. Wait, if I say that, then it makes it seem like we weren't consistent before, and we've always been consistent. So scratch that. But yeah, we're consistent.
We're
back, and we have thoughts.
Yes.
Tonight, we are here. And we will be reviewing the new release from CCJ.
Christina C. Jones, for the girls that don't know.
But and you if you don't know, then are you really a Black romance girly?
That's all I have. I mean, come on.
But anyway, we're reviewing Hostel Takeover by Christina C. Jones for the non-Black romance girlies. For us Black romance girlies, CCJ. Let's get it.
So, Miss CCJ released this book. People have been patiently, folks have been patiently and impatiently waiting for this book.
We are folks.
Because, you know, I noticed she's been doing her little Beyonce surprise drops, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. So she did another one. And
so we had that tooth I put it in the air. Wear your head tattoos, I put it in your air. Clap, 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 like you don't care. Slap. Yes.
All right. So in this book, we have now, this is a billionaire romance. Okay. Black romance.
Marriage of convenience. Black billionaire marriage of convenience. Now, she's been throwing out the teasers. I ain't gonna lie, CCJ, you was teasing us to death. Now it was to a point when I was like, all right, now drop the book. We kind of this woman teased me one more time. I'm gonna go in her inbox and I'm gonna be like, can you stop? I don't want to see no more teasers. Drop the product. Drop the product.
Can you just drop the book, please?
Thank you. But she's been throwing teasers of this marriage of convenience.
Yes.
With this arrogant alpha hole. And when I tell you I was intrigued.
I'm just going to tell y'all right now that Orion had me folded. I mean, like a letter, crisp, sharp, put me in an envelope and mail me off. Is all I was going to say. Okay.
Because Orion Sterling.
He was giving everything. Okay.
Orion Sterling.
Mr. Sterling. If you're nasty.
Okay, nasty. Nasty boy. Hey, don't be nasty. Nasty boy. Okay, but anyway.
So this book starts off with Nalani Stark finding out basically that her daddy ain't shit. But but she's surprised. She comes to work. She's surprised. She comes to work and find out that she basically has to give up the family. She has two options. Give up the family business to Orion, which actually was her mother's legacy, or keep it and marry him. All right. And Of course, like any person who has worked hard to keep their family business in the family, she's pissed the fuck off, okay? If she was going off on his ass in that office, I was like, girl. But he was so amused. That was like, this. I was like, oh, this nigga is, he just don't care.
I truly believe that this man, dick was hard whenever they had to tussle. I feel like he was getting off on the fact that he was pissing her off. And you know what? Yes. I ate that shit up. Because it's like,
yes.
Imagine your family legacy, something that you worked so hard for, is just literally about to get thrown out the window because your punk ass daddy.
Ain't shit, daddy.
Ain't shit. And he in his feelings over some shit that don't have nothing to see. This is why you can't deal with weak-minded niggas. This is why you have to boss up on these niggas because they dumb. AKA Nalani's daddy.
He dumb was wilding. He was wilding the fuck out in this book. But anyway, so Orion is at the office and he pretty much tells Nalani, I don't give a fuck about your attitude. You got two options, girl. Give this shit up or marry me and keep it.
Wait, give this shit up or give this shit up? Like, either way, she was going to be giving
it. She was going to give it up either way. She was going to give it up
give it up. But
in this starts our story. Where Nalani, in order to keep her mother's leg, and we're not just talking about her just keeping this family business. This included prop, like land and things like that. So she wasn't just going to give that up. But anyway, she decides to marry Orion.
She's literally blindsided by her dad. Mm-hmm. And in order to save her family's legacy, she's forced to marry Orion or give that shit up. So any smart business-minded woman, I mean, what would you do? I know I would. I mean, the man is fine. He is paid. He's going. He's basically going to give me my shit back when I marry him. So what I'm gonna do? Can I get a burgundy dress, please? Can I get a burgundy wedding dress? Because let's go. We going down the aisle now. Of course, she's pissed about that shit because it's like. Damn, she pissed at Orion because, I mean, at the end of the day, he did force her hand. He was like, bitch, this is what it is. Is you going to take it or is you not going to take it? Is you with it or what?
He really did say fuck her feelings.
Basically, he was like, fuck you. You going to take it or what?
He was just like, girl, you going to do it. But I love, you know what I liked about him doing that? It was like a little bit like, it wasn't just hostile. It was kind of like, it had like a tinge of violence to it. And I don't know. I got a little bit wet. You know, I was like, ooh.
I feel like it did have, it was hostile, but I feel like why I enjoyed it so much, because it had a playful undertone with it too. And I feel like Nalani knew that at the end of the day, Orion really wasn't going to mistreat her or anything like that. So I feel like that playful undertone came in. But I feel like Orion was a true alpha asshole. And he wasn't playing with her.
Oh, he was an asshole. He didn't give a fuck. He literally was telling people, like, fuck you and your feelings. Like, this man did not give a fuck about nobody and their feelings.
A businessman.
And it was crazy.
A businessman.
He was a businessman,
and I liked it. And the good thing about it is that what I liked was that Christina did not write a weak ass heroine. Nalani, she was going toe to toe with this nigga, tit for tat. You understand what I'm saying?
She made him work for that.
Yes,
she made him work for that because she was like, if you're gonna force my hand, I'm not going to make this shit easy for you at all. And she fought for her life to the bitter goddamn end.
The contract, when she sent the contract back and she was scheduling sex and stuff, baby, yes. I was tickled.
I was like,
because I feel like they were both doing shit to get under each other's skin. And the shit was pure comedy for me. I was tickled.
But it was funny because the shit he was doing was getting up under her skin. The shit she was doing to him, his dick was getting hard. He loved it.
This nigga was
He loved that shit.
What's the name of that kink? It has to be, I think I've read it before, where you get off on people mistreating you or saying rude stuff to you.
He was tangent on sadist almost. I was like, ooh.
Because when he was like, I love the tussle, I said, this nigga is a psycho. Like, he really is a psycho.
When I read that part, I said, oh, he gonna be a problem.
He's such an asshole, but yeah. I literally fell for this asshole. But anyway, I liked that Nalani was not a weak ass heroine. She was going toe to toe with him. She was like, okay, you want to force me into this marriage? Okay, you gonna get the bare minimum. And she literally
gave the bare minimum.
But
you notice how he was just like, I don't care. I still got what I want. I still
because
got
at the end of the day, I think he went into this situation knowing that he was going to wear her down and he was going to make her fall in love with him. So all the stuff that she was doing, it was tickling him because he was like, you know what? Eventually, it's going to happen. She going to love me. And then I liked that even though he was an asshole on the back end, he was literally protecting her. He was protecting her from her family, from her bitch ass ex. Like, okay, this man will, my wife, you to death. He was 10 toes down from the beginning.
He really was. And I like that. He was
10 toes down from the beginning.
I like that he was very protective of her, like from jump. And he told her, like, you're my wife. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to do what I got to do to make sure that you are right. And not just because, yeah, you're carrying a Sterling name, but I'm going to make sure you're all right. So I love that he was just like, I ain't with that shit. He was like a thug in a fucking suit.
When he tell her, say, oh, it ain't gonna be no hyphenating up in this bitch.
No.
You gonna be a Sterling. Wait, her last name was Stark.
Yes, her last name was Stark.
I was feeling the Tony Stark freaking Iron Man thing. That's what I thought of initially. I was like, Iron Man. But I liked when he said, oh, it ain't gonna be no Sterling up in this bitch. I mean, it ain't gonna be no Stark up. Stark,
no, he was Sterling like, up in this bitch.
It's gonna be Sterling.
He was like, it's Sterling. And, so, and it's that or that.
I feel like I resonated with Nalani a lot. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this name right. I might be fucking it up, but I'm going to say Nala because that was her little nickname, Nala. I feel like I resonated with Nala because I'm the type of woman, I'm going to stress you out. I'm going to go tit for tat. When you say A, I'm going to say B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. I am going to stress you out. I'm talking back. You know how they talk about, you know how them girls be like, I don't talk back, I talk back. And I talk shit. When you ask me what this mouth talk shit.
But okay? That's what she said. That's what she said. She literally warned him. Like, I got my mouth from my daddy. I talk shit.
But like I was saying, Nalani needed a man like Orion because he put her in her place.
All the time.
No, listen, I'm going to need somebody to be like, all right, nah, Tima, you need to chill. I'm going to need a man who ain't going to take it personal when I talk shit or he going to find the shit that I say funny. It's going to piss me off. But you can't really get offended or can't get stressed out because I'm going to talk shit regardless. Like, it don't even matter.
But he really didn't take anything personal.
Not a damn thing.
He didn't take anything personal. He knew she was pissed off. But it was like, there's a reason that Aranya was doing all these things. Me personally, I think he was already crushing on her anyway. Mm-hmm. And when the father fucked up the family business, this was his loophole into getting with Nalani. Like, could he have done it a normal way? Yeah, sure. But I also think that if he would have approached her initially, she would have turned the fuck down. She wouldn't have dated him. And he had to find a loophole, and he did.
A girl like Nalani Mm-hmm. She probably was going to make shit hard. So like you said, he had, Nalani wasn't stunting him. So he probably had to find a different way. And he already knew. I mean, from the way that CCJ wrote her, you could tell that she was dedicated to her family's business. She believed in her family's business. She wanted her family business to thrive. So you know that in order to get to win the heart of a woman like her, or to win the respect of a woman like her, you have to actually respect the fact that she takes her job seriously.
Correct.
So he came in a way where he know he gonna get her attention, her family's job. I mean, the girl didn't even, she was like, I don't want to be CEO. I want to be director of operations. So you already know she loves her family business because she wants to be more hands-on. You understand what I'm saying?
She wanted to be more hands-on in business. She didn't want to be like the CEO or anything like that. She wanted to be hands-on. She wanted to have like that personal connection with the family business and also the employees, the families that work for this business. She was very hands-on, and I like that about her. But also with Orion, he's also doing this because of his grandmother, all right? He made some type of deal or bet with his grandmother that he would marry and have children
before she passed.
And his grandmother, Callie, she was getting sick. And, you know, Orion was kind of like on this timeline. But let me tell you something about this old lady, the mouth.
That's gonna be me and if my son don't dote on me like the way they was doting on Miss Callie, set him back.
Let me tell you, gonna dote on me that way. My grandmother so bad, because let me tell you how my grandmother used to walk around with a pistol in her pocketbook and she shot my goddamn granddaddy. Okay, so I was like, come on, I feel this.
That character reminded me of Mama Madaris in Brenda Jackson's books. You know, like Mama Madaris, she old, but she still got a little bit of spunk in her and a mouth stiff. You understand? A mouth stiff. And they just dote on her. Like, they just love on her. Like, she's the matriarch of the family, and they just respect her. The way that him and his brothers, especially Orion, you could tell that he loved that woman down. Like, when he say, hey, gorgeous, and it was just so sweet.
She, after the death of his mother, and then when his father was off doing whatever he was doing, you know, this lady practically raised these boys. So Orion had a whole lot of love and respect for his grandmother. So he was trying to make this thing that he promised her. He was trying to make that happen. But child, this book.
And I think that's the reason why he went, well, that's one of the reasons why he went the avenue that he went, other than the fact that I feel like he did want Nala. He wanted her.
I feel like he did want her.
He was like, okay, I'm on this timeline. Mama Callie's getting sick. Let me go ahead and marry this woman, big her up in a year or two, get this baby, boom. You understand?
But I like that even though he was kind of like mean, because he was a mean motherfucker. Remember the brothers in Callie kept saying, you a mean motherfucker. Which old mean ass. He was mean as shit. But I like seeing him soften. Like, even though he wasn't taking her shit and he was really making her work during that marriage, I like seeing that he softened towards her. Like, he wanted her to not dislike him. He wanted her to start not just liking him, but he wanted her to fall in love with him. He wanted them to have, like, a natural progression of this relationship. You know what I mean? So I like seeing that kind of like that soft underlining way about him. Not just with Callie, but you saw it in how he dealt with Nalani at times too.
Yeah, and you could tell because after, I think the honeymoon, after they had sex and he went outside to call his friend. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you could tell that, okay, the feelings was kind of deeper than we expected. Like the feelings, you could tell that there was some underlying feelings that we weren't privy to. Like that he really cared for this
girl. He was feeling this girl.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you could tell, I feel like as the story progressed, you saw Orion, his inner thoughts, which was surprising, didn't annoy me as much as inner thoughts do. And I'm sitting here like, his inner thoughts gave us insight into him falling for Nalani.
Yeah.
On the flip side,
that girl was Nalani fighting for her life.
Jesus Christ.
When I say she was fighting for her life, she gave him a hard ass time. She did not make any progression of them being together easy. She was making not him
all.
Even when she was falling for him, like her friends literally had to tell her, like, bitch, you love this man.
Force her. Her friends had to literally force her to even admit that outside of the good dick, she was actually liking him. And I'm gonna piggyback to friends. Friends. I feel like Nalani's friend group, I loved their friendship. Mm-hmm. I even loved the sibling dynamics connection
between her and her brother.
Between her and Soren.
Soren, yes.
And then between Orion and his brothers.
Yes.
I feel like the sibling connection was connecting in this book.
It was a real
good sibling connection. And I
enjoyed it. I love this so much. That
because I'm not on good terms with my sisters right now.
Yeah.
So I really felt that. I was like, okay, they really have a great dynamic. Like this is written really well.
Yeah. And I loved how Soren just kind of migrated into what was going on between Orion and his brothers. Mm-hmm. Like, I love how he just migrated into being in that male, you know, family.
Yeah,
like, it was seamless. I was just like, this is
when you know that you have, like they said in the book, we have a common connection. The common connection is Nalani. And they really, he cared about his, so you could tell that he cared about his sister. He cared about his sister and she loved her brother.
Yes.
And I liked how Orion kind of welcomed him into the fold.
Yes.
And kind of gave him a little updates about what was going on, even though he didn't tell Nalani.
Right. So, and I loved how Soren kind of went to Orion when that shit went down with that man. And was like, no. And even Soren told Nalani, like, yo, you can't be taking this shit as no joke. Like, this dude is going to do something harmful with you. Like, we don't know. So I'm glad he went behind her back and told Orion, like, yo, look at these tapes. Like, this shit don't look good. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like her relationship with Soren and Orion's relationship with his brothers, just like Tamen said, that thing, that was like a pretty thing to see on page. Like, it was just very, very, very well written. Like, I loved it. The family dynamics in this book, outside of Nalani and Soren's ain't shit daddy, or Nalani's daddy, it was good to see on page. Now, daddy, oh my God. Now, the family secrets and the family drama in this goddamn book was wild, because Nalani always heard kind of like these bad things about the Sterlings, Orion and his family, especially from her father. But we kind of found out why. Like, they weren't really competitors. Like, these people grew up together in a friend group. And of course, some shit went down because, you know, people was fucking on one another and then feelings got involved. And, well, child, it was crazy.
Yeah, I feel like Nalani's dad had a lot to do with shit kicking. Her goddamn auntie was little.
Her auntie was shit.
Did some ho-ass shit too.
That was some ho-ass shit.
Did some ho-ass shit. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like her dad. Well, I wouldn't say the dad. Well, he did have something to do with it, but I think the aunt was the catalyst for all this division.
He was.
Because first of all, the aunt,
well, the way
the aunt and Soren daddy, because Soren dad, I don't know what the fuck I want to say, but the aunt shouldn't have slept with her sister's boyfriend, whatever the fuck they were, They shouldn't have, they shouldn't have sleep. She shouldn't have sleep with her sister, whatever the fuck they was doing.
Because she knew they was fucking around. So why would you fuck around on a dude that your sister is fucking around on? That's some whole shit.
And at a weak moment, she got with Nalani's dad, and Nalani's dad, weak ass niggas, they cannot handle when a woman is more successful than them or a woman is doing better than them. So he did weak ass nigga shit.
And I think he was jealous of Nalani's mom. I think he was jealous of his wife. And he didn't like that. Because remember, Soren's father said he went into that marriage with nothing. He was playing like he had something, but he didn't. He only had what he had because of Nalani's mom. So the man ain't had shit. So I think he was jealous. Because remember the way he was side talking to Nalani when Nalani went back to the house to get her mother shit? He was talking to that girl like, damn. I was like, damn, nigga, that's still your daughter.
He was like, you a hoe like your mama. I'm like, whoa.
I would have backed up and ran his ass over because who the fuck you talking to?
Like, I was like, whoa.
The father was wilding the fuck out. Like, he was that mad at his wife, his dead wife, that you would literally try to sell the family business out from under your kids. Like, what the fuck your kids had to do with that shit?
That's what I didn't like. Like, that is your kids at the end of the day. What? Regardless of your wife stepped out and had a... That's your kid. That's their legacy. Like, mind the fuck up.
That shit was trifling. He was a trifling ass. But let me tell you, Orion had his ass checked. Orion was like, I know you ain't shit. And I know you ain't shit. And I got you, motherfucker. Like, I'm prepared for every little slick shit you try to do. Orion knew. Like, when he went to Orion's office and was like, I could sell the business to you and work for you. I was like, what kind of... Like, this man wasn't shit. My God. He was a bitch ass. I was like, yo, he is terrible. Terrible. But this story, the tussling between Orion and Nalani had me excited, honey. I was like, keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing. I loved it. I love seeing them go through it for most of this book. And I love that she made this shit hard for him. And I love that as much as she gave him back, he gave her back. Like, that shit got me excited. I was like, bitch, keep it up. I didn't want the story to end, tell you the goddamn truth. This could have went on forever.
This was not a short-ass book. This was a long book. And I feel like she gave us details from the beginning to the end.
Yes.
When it come to them getting to the marriage, them tussling and everything. And I liked how we were... she gave us a little tidbits of the CCJ universe. We were able to go back to certain restaurants, meeting certain families.
Yes.
Now, CCJ, you already opened the door to the blacks, and you can't close this motherfucking door, okay?
Girl,
this door is open now. You cannot close this door, which means...
Because the way EJ ass was in there hollering,
I want more of that. We need more. You didn't open the door now. You didn't start this. You hear what Michael Jackson say? Want to be starting something? You didn't start this shit.
Got to be starting something.
Hey, okay. But anyway, you already start this shit. So that means you have to finish it now. You open the door.
Yes, the door ain't closing.
We got that shit stopped. The door that open. Right. So you need to give us the blocks. But when she mentioned the restaurant, and it was just reminiscent going back, and that's the beauty of authors actually creating their own universe.
Yes.
Because you get to see couples, you pick up on restaurants, you pick up on stuff. You know, it reminds me of the Crescent Falls community with Casey Mills and her crew. It's just that it just you pick up little, you know,
it brings back memories. Brings back memories for you reading the other books. And with this town of Blackwood, it has such a rich history. It started as a free town with free black people. It is just in the way she always breaks the history down when it comes to Blackwood, is just It's always giving, and I'm here for it motherfucking time.
And the thing about it is that she wrote the book, and then I feel like, okay, she gave us that little tidbit with Black, so we know that's going to possibly be a spinoff. Mm-hmm. Then she got Orion's brothers with Nalani's friends. That's possible. I am not 100% sure if Nalani's, if the Nalani's younger, I mean, Fran, uh-huh, and Titan, right?
That was Aries.
Name. No, the other one, Aries and Morgan.
Yes.
I know that's gonna be a second chance romance. Whatever.
That's gonna be but a volatile second chance
romance. The youngest Sterling brother and the other friend, I ain't know if she gonna be with, or if she gonna put them together, or she gonna put Nalani's brother with somebody. Cause when he said I was on a date, and she was like, who you want to date with? She was like, don't worry. He was like, don't worry about it yet. I feel like if it wasn't someone that she knew, he would have said something. I'm feeling an age gap romance coming up. I don't feel like she gonna put the youngest brother and her together. I don't think so. Because
I'm interested.
They are so close. Just think about how close him and Alani is.
Yeah.
The fact that he didn't tell her who he was going on a date with had my spidey senses going like, what is this?
Tingling, bitch.
It was tingling because I was like, So I was like, okay. Now it has me thinking, because I was first thinking that she was going to put the friends with the brothers, and I was like, no, that shit is too easy. CCJ ain't going down like that.
I remember in the book, she said her friends really wasn't stutting soaring like that.
That's what makes me think that is them, because why would she even say that? Why do we give a fuck if she ain't telling us that, hey, dummies, this is what's happening. Like, it was clues, because she was like, Soren looked, and he was like, oh, hey. And she was like, I'm so glad that my friends really didn't pay any attention to him.
Right.
Then at the end, who are you going on a date with? Don't worry about that. You gonna find out,
because remember he said if it goes to something, you'll meet her.
So it has me thinking, oh shit, is this an age gap book?
Ooh.
Whoa. We need to specify the age gap. We need to put this in the atmosphere. Now, when you say age gap, you mean older woman, younger man, or older man, younger woman? We gotta specify this because we gotta manifest this. Pull out the tarot cards, bitch. Let's do this.
Yes,
but that's what I like, because even though she gave us like little, this is what's gonna happen in the future, you know, and I'm like, okay, I know, CCJ, I know you're pregnant, I know the baby coming soon, but are you writing now? Like, I know this. I don't want to pressure you or anything like that, but is something coming before the baby get here? I don't know. It's just, I'm just saying. I'm just asking.
Please.
I mean, you opening all these doors. I want to know, is we walking through them or do we just stand here? Like,
right, do we got to wait. We got to wait. Like at the bus stop, just waiting. Like,
I need to know.
Like, what's going on?
Like, what is we doing?
Like,
yeah.
But this book was given, like, she took the whole marriage of convenience trope and she just flipped that. She just did something with that trope totally out of the box, something different, and I was here for it. I loved every last bit of it. Stellar bang out job. And she gave us a character that is so different, you know what I mean? Like, Orion was just like, man, he was a mean motherfucker. And I was like, I like it. I want to see more of it. Give me more. Keep it up. Yes.
And you could see the progression from when his my wife, it transitioned from sarcastic to my wife.
Actually, my wife.
Yeah. You know,
he was like, my wife, I love my wife.
The connotations was changing. And I was like, okay.
Very much so.
I wouldn't be Shades and Pages if I don't. Yeah. While I did love this book, and yes, I did love this book. I did enjoy this book. I felt like this book gave me the vibes that I needed. But I have to say that I felt that the romance part of this book was overshadowed for me. And when I say overshadowed, I feel like their issues and their drama was more heightened than actually seeing them fall in love on page. I feel like there's a formula when it comes to marriage of convenience. CCJ executed this formula well. What I feel would have taken over if we had seen a little bit more of some type of Nalani, because she fought so hard to avoid her admittance of love. I wanted to see them in a more loving couple situation. Like, for me personally, when she mentioned that Orion bought some tickets for them to go on that vacation, I feel like that vacation, if she would give us like a two more chapters of them on that vacation and them, you know, showing Nalani actually, okay, she's giving in and they're in a couple situation where we know Orion was making that transition because we got his inner thoughts. I didn't get that from Nalani. She fight till the death. It was given 300, bitch. You know, this is Sparta. She was
the nigga down in the well.
Yes, she was like, bitch, this is Sparta. I wanted a little bit more. I wanted it more. I feel like their issues was more, if I'm being honest, 80%. And we get probably 20%, if that much, of Nalani actually admitting and them seeing more coupling from them as a couple. I ain't see that.
Well, here's my counterpoint. I ain't here to see it. The tussling was tussling for me. I loved that kind of like that friction and that combativeness against them. Because I think that's what moved the story. Her disliking him so much and him forcing her hand into something she really did not want to do. That just got me all tingly and excited inside. So I did not care to see the romance. I didn't give a fuck about that romance. Keep fighting up.
Well, at the end of the day, this is a romance book. This is a romance book, and we need to see romance.
We got a little bit of the romance towards the end, okay? And the end. That's all I needed. In the epilogue, we saw them loving each other in the epilogue, and that was okay.
Yeah. In the epilogue.
That's what I say.
The girl say on TikTok, in the epilogue. I get what you're saying. Like, for somebody, and I get what you're saying, but I will have to respectfully disagree with that. Because
I'm have to respect it. We just going to have to agree to disagree.
At the end of the day, Sharonda, you're wrong.
No, I'm not.
You're wrong and I'm right. So at the end of the day, you're wrong and I'm right.
No, you're not. I'm right.
And you're wrong. At the end of the day, I feel like Nalani fought for the dead, like I said before. And when they had that conversation, I honestly felt that the issue with the birth control, I felt like it went on a little too long. And like, but then again, I do understand because at the end of the day, Nalani was like, nah, bitch, you gonna apologize. So I like the fact that he did
it up.
She did make him apologize, but I still felt that it went on a little too long. Like, they should have... It went on a little too long for me. And I feel like that could have given us more of them actually coupling shit.
Okay.
Yeah. But outside of that, I enjoyed the book, and I cannot wait to see what CCJ have for the Billionaire series. Or the Blacks. The Blacks. I don't even know what I want. I don't know what I want. I don't know if I want the Blacks or if I want the friends, the lovers. Give me the Blacks, because that shit was...
Yo, You know what's crazy about the blacks is that even when Aranya was talking to the brother when he left out of that room with EJ, and even when the brother smiled at him, Aranya was like, let me hurry up and get the fuck up out of here. And Aranya was a mean, tough-ass motherfucker. So if you got this motherfucker jittery, you know. Like,
yeah, it's like everybody know that, okay, something is off with the blacks, but they don't know
what is exactly up with the blacks. Because I was reading it, I was like, well, bitch, they are because they fucking predators.
And I'm sitting there like, are we going to find out? Like, are they going to find out that there is something up with the blacks, or CCJ is just going to keep it in suspense? Because I like the suspense part of it. Like, they already know that something is weird about this family.
But it's like, do the humans in Blackwood know that there's a dark paranormal side to Blackwood? Like, do they know that?
No. But I that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if she's gonna merge it or she's gonna keep it separate.
I like the air of mystery.
Yes, because it's like they know something is up with this family, but they don't know what's up with the family.
Because y'all just like taking people to their house and motherfuckers just disappearing. I'm like, shit, I don't know.
Like, they probably know. They probably thinking that they're this crime family, but they don't know that they're vampires.
Right.
That's what it is. They probably know that they're in some type of organized crime-based situation, but they don't know that they're vampires. And I like that. Like you said, I like that air of mystery. And I'm like, CCJ, baby, listen.
Listen, you can give me both. I'll take both. Matter of fact, right about now, I'll take anything because this billionaire series got me going. So I need more of that.
Because the second chance romance between Aries and Morgan. He's very, I wouldn't say soft, but he's more reserved
than his brother.
Reserved than Orion. But I feel like Morgan gonna play his face because she already know, okay, he knows that he fucked up. So she knows she has the upper hand right now. And Aries gonna have to flex on her ass and show her like, bitch, I ain't no punk.
Well,
bitch,
let me tell you why I was like, Morgan, you still mad, bitch. Get over it.
No, because that's your first love. You understand?
And his mama wasn't right.
And the boys admitted that the mama was mean, and he didn't do anything. So that probably hurt her little teenage heart, and she's still mad about it.
Not the teenage heart.
And she's still mad about it, and apparently he is still fucked up about it too.
Yeah.
So we don't know what happened if he tried to reconnect with her or anything.
She probably was like, get the fuck out of here. Because I probably would have told him, get the fuck out of
here. Yeah. So we probably going to see him try to reconnect with her or get some backstory or what happened. Yeah. But she already knows that she have the upper hand. And you know how we go when we have the upper hand sometimes. He going to have to flex on her and show her that I ain't no punk bitch ass nigga. And I'm ready to read that story. CCJ, baby, you got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I'm ready to dip into more books, but this book right here, Hostile Takeover, was good. It was given. Okay, it was given. I agree. And yes, ma'am. Yes.
I agree.
Keep this up. Keep doing it.
CCJ, you got
more full-length books, please.
Yes, CCJ. Say that again, Sharonda. What you say?
More full-length books, please.
Thank you. You got a lot of work to do.
Thank you.
You got a lot of work to do now. You done put the plate on the table and we ready to eat.
Yeah, you done opened up this bag of damn words.
We ready to eat now. So,
and we know the baby coming. You pregnant, baby, the baby coming. We patient. You know, we patient.
Define patient.
We patient. That's all I got.
So this is my suggestion, CC. You know, like when people nesting and people clean when they nesting, you could write.
Child, you know when a baby comes, you ain't writing shit. That
baby, you gotta write when you next.
That baby gonna tell her them books and them people gotta wait.
I thoroughly enjoyed this story, and this says a lot because you know I've been struggling to read. Like,
here you go,
Sharonda. Don't play with me. Don't play with me, Sharonda. Sharonda, don't play with me. I've been struggling to read. 2023 has been beating me with a sick dick. Okay, I have been struggling to read, and when I tell you, I devoured this book.
Yeah.
And you know how I complain about these long ass books, and this book was not short. And I devoured this book. So
this book was.
I've been struggling, and it kind of took me out of my little reading slump. I don't know how long it's going. Yeah, it took me out of my little reading slump.
It only takes one.
And thank you, CCJ, because this book was good. I had my little caveats, you know. But overall, I fucked with this book. I really do.
Yeah, this was good. I gotta say, like the tropes in the characters and the situations, like the whole story was just it was really, really good. Like just something totally different. And I wanna see more Orions floating around in Black romance, okay?
Done well. You need somebody, well,
but they're gonna need somebody like Nalani. I'm just saying. Yeah.
We don't want no weak assholes in these books.
Yes. Yes.
I just feel like we need to step out and we need to step out of the friends to lovers, the insta love, and what else we be seeing a lot. Enemies to lovers. We got false proximity there. We got marriage or convention. We got billionaires. We got, found family. We got so many other tropes we could do. I'm a need for y'all to leave the friends, the lovers alone. Let it fucking go.
Let it go.
And stop it. When you see friends and lovers, turn your head. Enemies and lovers, turn it. Insta love, turn it again. We don't want it no more. More age gaps. False proximity, one bed, fucking something, sports romance.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I say sports romance, I mean sports romance. Not you giving us a person who's a basketball player and they ain't playing no goddamn basketball. We need sports.
And I love the fact that this is kind of like, not so much like contemporary that leads into paranormal, but bringing in the Blacks a little bit just gave like that whole situation kind of like a little like, you know, like mystery, kind of like, you know, it just gave it like this creepy mystery feel. And I was like, yeah, that shit is just shit.
It gave it a little edge with the crime. It gave it a little. Then you also had the false proximity because they got married and they were living together. Then you had a slightly, I wouldn't say enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say enemies because they didn't know
each other, but it did kind of have like underlining enemies to lovers because
she was mad at him because you was trying to take my legacy. So this had a lot. I fucked with it because it was outside of the ordinary that we always have. It was outside. If I see one more motherfucking friends lovers book,
good Lord Jesus,
I just flex your wings and fly. Who sang that song? You could become a butterfly.
What? Who the hell? What song you talking about?
Wings and prepare to fly. Butterfly, Mariah Carey. The fuck? Oh no. But anyway. Thank you, CCJ, for giving us. I like the marriage of convenience, the arranged marriage. I think we're gonna do. D Rose has a marriage of convenience.
Yeah.
Shay Saunders have a marriage of convenience. Shay Davis has a marriage of convenience.
Yeah.
Who else? T. Lynn has a marriage of convenience. Shay Saunders have a marriage of convenience.
You said Shay Saunders already.
Did I? I said no. I said Shay Davis.
No, you Shay didn't Davis. Say Shay Sanders. You said Shay Sanders before Shay Davis.
Okay, both of them have. Yes. Both of them have marriage. Like let's get more of the marriage of convenience and the arranged marriage. I would love to see an arranged marriage.
Yeah, because I think like the more you dip, like what she did with this book, because I feel like contemporary romance is kind of becoming a little, you know, a little bit boring, you know, with these same subgenres and these same tropes and stuff like
the
that. So I think
everybody is written.
Yeah, and I think that everybody ate this book up because it was just something so outside of the mm-hmm. norm, mm-hmm. you know. So yeah,
I feel like every time we authors say marriage of convenience, we get excited because we don't see a lot of marriage of convenience anymore. It's a trope list.
And not just a marriage of convenience, but give us some different type characters. Like, give us the billionaires. Give us the woman that's going to be combative with him. Like, you know, trying, like, give us this shit, you know? People are going to eat this shit up. And let me tell you something. I finished this book at fucking work. I should have been working, but I was so caught up in this goddamn book. Like, it was good. This shit was good as hell. So, yeah. Definitely love this book. Love the marriage of convenience. Love the whole mystery edge type. Love the situation between Orion and Nalani. And I love them as characters. All that family drama, all that stuff going on in the background, finding out who Soren real daddy was. Mm-hmm. I was like, who is real pappy?
I the pappy.
But this was a good ass story.
Thank you, yeah. CCJ, though. Like I said, you put the plate on the table, we ready to eat. Yeah. Okay?
And I
really enjoyed this book. And I am so excited to see what else. Like, we in Blackwood, bitches. Like, what's up? What's up?
Yeah.
So.
I'm excited.
And I guess that's it.
Let us know when the paperback coming out. Okay.
I want the paperback. I don't do paperbacks because I'm an ebook girly, but when I really
I'm definitely see getting books, the paperback for this.
When I find books that I love, I'm definitely
getting the paperback for this. Thank you, girl.
Thank you guys for hanging with us tonight.
Thank you.
Even though Sharonda was wrong. Bye, guys.
Bye. See, this is why I'm messing around with you.
Well, hello. It's Sharonda Isadora. And if you're at the end of this episode, we thank you so very much. Make sure you're tuning in bi-weekly for new episodes of Brazenly Shady. You can catch our previous shows via your favorite podcast platform everywhere. Also, make sure you're following us via social media at Brazenly Shady, Instagram, and Twitter. And until the next bout of shenanigans, later days. Bye.